During the Ming Dynasty of China in the 1400s, the Chinese army was sent to the southwest of China to suppress a rebellion that was started by an ethnic minority tribe. The rebellion quashing was brutal, and a young girl was snatched from her family by Chinese soldiers and brought into the palace in Beijing, where she was put to work as a lowly palace maid. But unlike the other maids, she was special. Not only was she from a different race, but she was attractive enough to be noticed by the emperor. In a spontaneous fit of attraction and passion, the emperor and this young palace maid got together for a bit. And then the emperor left this palace maid and wiped this young and insignificant girl from his mind, not knowing that this girl held the key to a person that would become one of China's greatest emperors. G'day everyone, welcome to another episode of the Bamboo History Podcast. I'm your host Stephen, and for those who are new, the Bamboo History Podcast is a podcast that goes through Chinese history, with the occasional content on broader East Asian history. If this is your kind of content, please subscribe to the podcast right now. I've got an Instagram and a website with visual and blog content as well, so be sure to check those out too. Today, we are going to talk about the story of a great Chinese emperor. But when I mention his name, he might not be the person that you would think about as being great, nor be a person that you might even know at all, because he's flown so low under the radar due to his discreet beginnings and his low-key lifestyle and rule. In fact, he is so low-key that he is more famous in history for being the only Chinese emperor that was monogamous. In other words, had one wife his entire life, rather than be famous for his great rule. Today's episode will be about the most underrated and low-key Chinese emperor, the Hongzhi Emperor, Zhu Yucheng. And this episode will go through his life, his achievements, and of course, a bit about his monogamy. Okay, what are we waiting for then? Let's get straight into today's episode. The Hongzhi Emperor, Hongzhi spelt H-O-N-G-Z-H-I, was born in the year 1470 CE. His personal name was Zhu Yucheng, and his temple name, which is the name given to an emperor after their death, is Ming Xiaozong. His name Hongzhi is named after his era of rule, which is known as the Hongzhi era. And Hongzhi means in Chinese, great governance. He certainly lived up to that name, and we'll go through that in today's episode. From the moment that he was born into this world, Zhu Yucheng, the Hongzhi Emperor, was facing the jaws of death. Zhu Yucheng's father was the Chenghua Emperor, spelt C-H-E-N-G-H-U-A. And his mother was known as the Lady Ji, Ji spelt J-I, who was a lowly palace maid. At the time of Zhu Yucheng's birth, power within the palace lay in the hands of the treacherous Lady Wan, spelt W-A-N, who was a concubine of the Emperor Chenghua. Lady Wan had a lot of power because the Emperor Chenghua loved her the most. In fact, their love story is so interesting, it should deserve an episode on its own. To put it simply, when Chenghua was 2 years old, Lady Wan, who was almost 20 years older than him, was appointed to be his nanny. Initially, Cheng Hua saw Wan as an older sister figure. But as time passed, he went through many hardships in his life, including being imprisoned. And all that time, Wan was there for him, even when his own parents couldn't be there for him. And Cheng Hua began to see her as a motherly figure. Then, when Cheng Hua got older and became an adult, the maternal feelings were replaced as Cheng Hua fell in love with Lady Wan. But at that time, being in love with someone 20 years your senior was really weird, and their relationship got a lot of disapproval. It was one of the main reasons why Lady Wan couldn't become Cheng Hua's first official wife, or empress, when he became the emperor. Another reason was because of her older age, and also because she was unable to produce a child, and more importantly, an heir for the emperor. The only child they had together, a son, died in its infancy. Desperate to create an heir to the throne, the Cheng Hua emperor married other women, younger and more attractive younger women, in order to produce children with them. This made the Lady Wan, who was childless and older than the other wives, jealous. Lady Wan was desperate to cling onto power and control the other wives of the emperor, and she knew that the best way to do so was to make sure that none of the other wives bore sons, because if you had a son, that would obviously make the emperor happy, as they could become potential heirs to the throne. So, something mysterious happened where boys that were born in the palace would mysteriously die soon afterwards. And it was speculated that Lady Wan was behind all of this, killing off these baby boys before they could become threats to her later on. Hence, when Zhuyou Cheng was born, he was already at risk of being murdered by Lady Wan. Luckily for him, because his mother was a palace maid and not a wife of the emperor, his birth flew under the Lady Wan's radar. It seems like this type of low-keyness would follow him throughout his life and beyond. And Zhuyou Cheng avoided death at the hands of his evil stepmom. His mother, Lady Ji, sought help from some eunuchs who were loyal to the throne and not to Lady Wan, and these eunuchs took the young baby away from the palace and raised him in secret. The empress, who also knew of Lady Wan's evil schemes, helped Lady Ji keep Zhuyou Cheng's birth a secret. So much so that the Cheng Hua emperor didn't even know he had a son that was alive and kicking. It was in this environment that the young Zhuyou Cheng was born into. He survived, but his mum wasn't so lucky. The emperor Cheng Hua had fallen into anxiety because of a lack of a male heir, and he was desperate to have a son. So when Zhuyou Cheng was 5 years old, the eunuchs finally revealed to Cheng Hua that he in fact had a son. The emperor was stoked. He was so happy. I mean, finally, he's got a son that hasn't died before the age of 5. Finally, he's got an heir to the throne. But if the emperor found out, that meant that Lady Wan had found out as well. The empress dowager, the emperor's mother, took the young Zhuyou Cheng into her care as soon as Lady Wan found out about it. This was done in order to protect him. So Lady Wan was like, "Ah, rats," and knew it was too late to kill him off. But Lady Ji was now exposed, and Lady Wan must have been furious at the fact that this lowly palace maid had raised a son behind her back for all those years. So soon after Zhuyou Cheng was welcomed back into the palace, Lady Ji died under mysterious circumstances. It was very likely that it was Lady Wan who had gotten rid of her. Now imagine that as a child, you were sent away to live alone, away from your father because your stepmom's trying to kill you, and then your mom dies when you're 5 years old. That must have made a permanent mark in Zhuo Cheng's entire life. The treacherous Lady Wan wasn't going to give up. She was desperate to stop the young Zhuo Cheng from becoming crown prince, and tried to convince the Chenghua Emperor not to appoint him as the crown prince. But something strange happened that convinced the emperor that Zhuo Cheng was the one. One day, a messenger brought news to the palace. "Emperor! Emperor! Big news!" The emperor sighed. "What is it, mate?" The messenger replied, "An earthquake has struck Mount Tai." The emperor exclaimed, "You mean Taishan? That sacred mountain of ours?" "Yeah." One of the officials next to the emperor chimed in, "Wow, an earthquake at Taishan. Emperor, that is a sign. The heavens are not pleased that you are not going to make your boy the next emperor." The emperor was like, "Yeah, you reckon?" "Yes, emperor, it is a sign from the heavens. We must make Zhuo Cheng the next emperor." The emperor thought about it for a moment and said, "Yeah, you're right. It probably is a sign. Alright, I changed my mind. Let's make my son the crown prince." Because of an earthquake, Zhuo Cheng, against all odds, was finally made the crown prince and the heir to the throne. Lady Wan, resigned to the fact that she had lost, died in the year 1487. The Chenghua Emperor, stricken with grief over the death of his love, also died soon after. So in the year 1487, Zhuo Cheng ascended the throne and became known as the Hongzhi Emperor. Whilst many of the other Ming Dynasty emperors are perhaps known more infamously, the Hongzhi Emperor was a good emperor. During the Chenghua Emperor's later reign, many people managed to get into positions of power through bribery as opposed to merit. The Hongzhi Emperor corrected this by initiating a purge early on in his reign, getting rid of the officials that had gotten their positions from bribery or other dishonest means, and also just got rid of any officials or workers that were incompetent in general. Because his father favoured Lady Wan, many of Lady Wan's relatives also got into high positions of power and became a force that threatened Hongzhi's position on the throne. So he curbed their power by removing many of the Wan family members from these high positions of power. In their place, the Hongzhi Emperor employed government officials and other workers on a merit-based system, meaning that people in power were there because they were competent at their job, not because, you know, they slipped $50 into the hands of a recruiter. The three officials that stood out were Liu Jian, who was known as the master of decision-making, Li Dongyang, who was known as the master of strategizing, and Xie Qian, who was known as the master of negotiations. These three were appointed by the Hongzhi Emperor into his cabinet and assisted the emperor in state affairs. His rule was affected greatly by his Confucian studies as a child, and he followed a very strict Confucian model of governance during his rule. Unlike some of his predecessors, this meant meeting regularly with his advisors, prioritizing the welfare of his people, and he was very transparent between himself and his advisors. He was one of the rare few emperors who was willing to take criticism from other people in order to find ways to improve himself and his rule over China. Because of this, he was able to enact effective policies that improved the Ming Empire at the time. He lowered taxes for the lower socioeconomic population and was very laissez-faire with the private economy and prioritized peace over war, especially with China's neighbors. Because of this, Ming Dynasty China entered a state of peace and prosperity. A lot of the good done during Hong Zhi's reign was largely down to the man himself. Because he grew up in a humble environment, away from the palace, he knew about the challenges faced by commoners in their daily lives. During his reign, he promoted frugality and discouraged excessive spending and wastefulness. He was also a diligent emperor, working for hours and hours on end. Because of how great he ruled the country, it is a little bit unfortunate to know that the Hong Zhi Emperor is much more well known because of his monogamy with Empress Zhang. He is the only Chinese emperor to have only had one wife his entire life, which is crazy considering it was normal and even encouraged for emperors to take on multiple wives. The main rationale of this was to ensure that there would be greater chances of producing more male offspring that could become the heir to the throne once the incumbent emperor passed away or abdicated. The emperor, therefore, would have his official first wife, who was the empress, and the highest ranking of all his wives. Then he would have numerous unofficial wives, in the form of consorts and concubines. This meant the emperor had heaps and heaps of wives. For example, Emperor Xuanzong of the Tang Dynasty reportedly had, want to take a guess? Yeah, 40,000 wives in total. That's more than the current population of Monaco. Wow. In the case of the Hong Zhi Emperor, his upbringing played a huge role in influencing his decision to only have one wife his entire life. As you've listened already, from the moment that he was born, he was under constant threat that Lady Wan would find out about his existence and kill him. From a young age, he was constantly reminded of the drama, the tension, and the horror of the happenings inside the palace. You know, all the killings of the male babies and the forced abortions and all that. And he hated all of those things, especially because that palace drama and intrigue was what got his mum killed. Because of this, he decided that to avoid having all this drama and horror happen in the palace, it was better off that he didn't have a harem at all in the first place and just stick to one wife. Don't take anything away from the wife though. Empress Zhang was a very good-looking woman and got along well with the emperor. They lived life like any commoner couple would. They slept in the same bed every night, got up together every morning, and did daily activities together every day, like, you know, painting or whatever. If the Emperor Hong Zhi did have any flaws, it was probably his love for Empress Zhang. So much so that in his later reign, he did begin to have favoritism towards the Empress's family. For example, appointing her brothers, who were absolutely incompetent, into high positions of power. The Hong Zhi Emperor was a great emperor, but he was never in great health. From a young age, perhaps through the stresses of life, of living under fear and in poor conditions, coupled with long hours of work and stress during his years as emperor, he was always suffering from poor health. After 18 years on the throne, at the ripe old age of 34, he passed away from illness. Luckily for him, his only wife managed to give birth to 3 children, 2 sons and a daughter. And the eldest son took the throne as the Zhengde Emperor. The Zhengde Emperor is also a very interesting character, and I'll dedicate an episode in the future for this bloke. So, what was Hong Zhi's legacy? Many of China's great emperors were deemed great because of their efforts to make a country prosperous, but also it was because of their military exploits and either conquer a whole bunch of land or defeat powerful neighbors in battle. But I think equally important in assessing a great emperor or leader is by their character, personality, and their relationship with the people. Growing up, I didn't know much about the Hong Zhi emperor and his achievements. I mean, why would I? He didn't establish an empire like his forefather, the Hong Wu emperor. He didn't conquer whole swaths of land in Tibet and Mongolia like the Qing dynasty Kangxi emperor, and he didn't defeat hordes of nomadic Xiongnu like the Han dynasty emperor Wu. But what the Hong Zhi emperor did was ensure that his people lived harmoniously and peacefully. He ensured a transparent government where the emperor and the officials could talk and criticize openly, and personally, he was an honest and hard-working emperor who worked tirelessly to keep his country rich, safe, and happy. The fact that he is remembered more for his monogamy as opposed to his great rule is ridiculous, and that is what makes him, in my opinion, one of ancient China's greatest emperors and also the most underrated one. Before we wrap up, I wanted to tell you a story during the Hong Zhi emperor's reign that sets him aside from his forefather, the great Hong Wu emperor, who founded the Ming dynasty. I talked about him in episode 3. The story goes that a famous Korean politician and traveler named Cho Bu was shipwrecked off the coast of China, and he was returning home to Korea by sailing north via the Grand Canal. As he was traveling up the river, he saw that there was a flurry of boats traveling in the opposite direction. Curious, he asked someone why there were so many boats heading in the opposite direction. And he was told that the boats were carrying officials that had been recently sacked by the emperor because of incompetence or corruption. But the emperor Hong Zhi, as a goodbye favor, paid for their travel and transportation to go back home. A grand gesture like this summarizes the character of the Hong Zhi emperor, who ruled with compassion and would have gained heaps of respect for such an act. In contrast, the Hong Wu emperor, who was arguably the greatest Ming dynasty emperor, most likely would have executed these corrupt officials, cut them into pieces, and hung them off a city wall for people to look at. So yeah, that is it. That's the end of the story of the great Hong Zhi emperor. I hope you learnt a thing or two. I certainly did. Don't forget, if you are new and liked this episode, be sure to listen to my other episodes. For all the listeners, please spread this podcast to your friends and family, and give me any feedback that you may have. My contact details are in the description box below. As always, please follow my podcast and my Instagram, and also check out my website, which I'll leave all the details in the description box below as well. Alright, it's time for me to go now. Thanks everyone for tuning in to this episode. Enjoy the rest of your day or evening, and see you all next time on the Bamboo History Podcast. Bye for now.